Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Today on the podcast, joining us is one of the most exciting DJs and producers in the UK right now. She's had a phenomenal rise, representing her hometown of Dundee in Scotland globally, pushing hard, fast electronic music, and even now being a top 10 hit. We're so excited to have you, Hannah Lang. Welcome!
Yay.
Thanks for having me on today.
So good to have you. I mean, first of all, how are you and where are you?
I'm really good, thank you. And for once, I'm actually at home. I'm in my bedroom, half studio. I've got 2 days at home this week before back on the road tomorrow.
Oh my gosh. So you're still living in Dundee, right?
Yeah, I should have said I'm in Scotland. I'm in Dundee, yeah.
Oh my God. How does it feel to spend a bit of time at home? Because I'm guessing you're not home that often.
No, I'm not home that often. Yeah, it's good. Like, I'm still working from home, but just coming home, I was just visiting my great gran and granda there. So it's nice to go see the friends and family when I'm back.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. I feel like your family, because I watched your documentary this morning that you did with Van Damme, shout out Jordan.
Yeah.
And B2B cast. And it feels like your family are like an important like support network for you.
Yeah, they're honestly the best. Like when I was visiting my great gran and granddad this morning, my great gran was like, "You're the best disc jockey I know."
Oh, that's
they're
adorable.
Like 80 odd, honestly, they're amazing. Like, my great grand and granddad don't fully understand it, but they're here for it.
Have you taken them to the rave?
My gran, not my great gran, yeah.
Wow, what did she think?
Yeah, she's actually in a few videos on TikTok that went viral. She loves it. And again, like, she's not necessarily into the music, but she just loves seeing me happy. And if I tell her, like, I go, if I'm home, I'll go to hers every Wednesday for my tea. And if I say I'm playing with this person or that person this weekend, she'll be away Googling them and stuff. Like, she really takes an interest and she just loves seeing me doing what I love. So, yeah. And she loves the rave. Aww. She says she went to her first rave when she was 60 and it was the best night of her life.
Oh, that's amazing.
God. So yeah. It runs in the family then.
Yeah. No, honestly, big supporters and really appreciate it. Another class defo.
Okay, so I think the last time I saw you in real life was we were at the BBC and we did a mix. I think it was May.
Yeah.
And things felt mad then. And I feel like since then, we've had the summer pretty much. You've been touring everywhere. You've done you did an essential mix. You've been climbing the charts. You've been busy. I mean, how have you been finding this whirlwind?
Yeah, it's crazy. I think, like, this is what I've wanted, like, for the last 10 years since I started, but no one can really prepare you for it. And it's a lot more mental than I thought it would be. It comes with its pressures. But I think the energy from the shows and putting out the music and people reacting to it will overcloud anything else. But, yeah, it's just been absolutely mental.
How do you look after yourself? Because, like, it's tough, right? And the pressure and the movement and going out, and it is relentless and you can't really prepare for that.
No, I know. Like, I am the worst for partying, after parties, you name it, I'm there. And I think because I got into the scene so early, like from us 14, 15 raving, like, I'm so used to being on the dance floor, and like, I do find it difficult to go back to my hotel or go home after my sets because I'm so buzzing. Like, I'll always, like, when I finish my set, I'll go see the next DJ or go in the crowd. But I think now, like, I've started seeing a life coach and stuff and really trying to put things in place to still party and still go see the DJs that I enjoy, but just not as much, because I'm doing, like, obviously before I wasn't doing as many shows as this, so I can get away with it. But now I'm doing like shows back to back. Sometimes I've got 3, 4, 5 shows a week. And if I'm partying at every show, like, I'm not in a good frame of mind during the week to then be creative and make music and do all the other things like this during the week. And yeah, I just think really taking time off away from the madness as well, because I felt like at a point it was just like, this was my whole life. There was no like going to see my friends and family, no downtime, no nothing else. It was just this. And I was like, had to reevaluate it when things got really mental. And I was like, actually, I need to take time off. And when I say time off, I can't be replying to messages or nothing, because again, it's still going back to work. So I'd say cut down on the partying to look after myself, and also more downtime. Like, I've been going to spas, enjoying massages and seeing my friends and family more, because I think that was a big sacrifice, was like not seeing anyone. Yeah, I see my mates at shows and partying, but not like chilling the way I used to. But like, it's still very new, exciting, and I'm still trying to find that balance.
Yeah, I feel like, I think we're all trying to find balance, it doesn't get easier. But I think the fact that you've had, like, I know you've been working hard and working for this for a long time, but I feel like the rise has been like very fast and very, you know, rising really quickly to the top. And I think the fact that you're already like recognizing the need for balance and well-being, like seeing your family, going to the spa, because I'm a sucker for the spa as well, by the way. Oh my god. But it's really good to see that, because I think, and it might be a generational thing, because I often wonder if like our generation are a bit more, and even younger, like my little brother's 17 and they do not drink or party as much as like I know that I did and we did. And but I look really upwards to like older DJs, and I feel like that generation, there's still DJs in their like 40s, 50s, probably 60s, are like still going, like properly getting messed up, and I'm like, how are you still alive? Like, I couldn't do that, and I'm 28.
I feel like it's like it's not sustainable. I know so many of my peers now that have gone sober because they've done it for so long, and I'm not saying like I don't want to, so going sober is not something I'm completely want to do. I just think I need to pick my battles more, because like I enjoy drink like as much as the next person or partying, and it does make me feel more confident when I'm playing. And I just think that's something that I need to just find the balance of, is pick your battles and not get on it at every show.
It is crazy that that's just like a normal part of the workplace, isn't it?
Well, that's
like
the point,
alcohol,
isn't it?
Drugs.
Easy. Yeah, it really is. It just comes hand in hand with it. And when you've been so used, and I say like this is all new to me, as you said there, the rise has been very quick. I have been doing it for a long time, but I mean, things have got mental real quick. So it's now like, oh, what do I do here?
Yeah, I mean, I know I think we've spoken about it a bit in the past, and you've like tweeted before about like maybe DJing sober, and you've been like, oh, I don't know if it's something I can do or if I want to do. Like, have you tried it? Have you been able to?
Yeah, so I have tried it, and I played the first part of my set sober, then I start drinking. For me, I feel so stiff when I'm on the decks sober. I feel like I'm analysing my every mix. And I'm not saying I'm getting wrecked when I'm playing, but I usually have 2 or 3 drinks and then I'm in flow and I feel at ease. I can make eye contact with the crowd. Whereas I feel... Now, this is something I definitely want to be able to do, is actually DJ sober. Because actually, I'll probably play better if I am completely sober, but I'm just so much more aware when I am sober of, like, as I said, analysing the mixes and, oh, are they enjoying this? Are they not? When I've had my 2 or 3 drinks, I'm like, who cares? Let's go.
It is a really interesting one, and it's a hard one. There's no right or wrong answer, and who's to say, yeah, like having a drink makes you more better or worse at DJing or more in tune with the crowd? Like, it's impossible to know. But I think, yeah, I think being aware of it, I think it's practice. Like, I went through like a sober, in fact, it's after we did a podcast, we did an episode about sobriety with Fat Tony, Tamanti and Harvey from Prosper in this very studio. You should go listen to it.
Unreal.
And I remember we did the episode and we were just, they were sharing their experiences of sobriety. And it actually like really influenced me to have a few months not drinking. And because I had loads of gigs and I was like, oh, maybe I'll be better if I don't. And actually like really trying to do, I was like, right, I'm going to do them. Get through bank holiday and do these like 5 gigs sober. And actually after I did a few, I got into it, and like not just knowing you can do it is quite reassuring. But I think it's just something you get used to. And I think it's like habits, isn't it, at the end of the day?
Definitely breaking up the habits. Like when I've tried to do it sober in the past, it's like freak out mode. Oh no, I need to have a drink now because I'm not enjoying it. When actually you need to just get past that part and then you can get used to it. As you said, it's breaking out the habit. But I actually remember, I think we were at a show together, and I said, like, are you drinking? Or do you want to drink something? You're like, no, I'm sober. And I was like, teach me.
I mean, I'm no expert. These days I'm like, glass of wine, bottle of wine. You know.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. It's a tricky one.
Yeah.
And also now, like, yeah, because we're getting to an age now where we've been doing it for quite a few years. It's like... You need to chill out at some point.
Yeah, I know. But
what were the nights that you first started going to when you were first clubbing?
There was an event in Perth in Scotland called the Rumba. And they did parties back in the day when my mum and dad were raving. Well, they still rave, but like in the 90s. And then they did a comeback because they stopped the parties for years. Then they did a comeback. So... I went to that, and then I was like, ooh, I like this. I was obviously very underage. And then there was a nightclub in Dundee called London Nightclub, and they used to run events called The Glam. And then, yeah, it was like Dave Pierce, all the old trans guys, and like Judge Jules at that time. And yeah, that's what really made me go like, what is this, man? This is, feels good.
I love that. And the fact that you said your parents and grandparents were ravers, is definitely part and parcel of your DNA. And I feel like you mentioned like kind of the like early trance guys and all those influences you can so hear in your music.
Yeah, it's so mad because when I started 10 years ago, I was playing everything. Well, actually, I've been playing everything up until probably about a year or two ago. And I played everything to get the gigs. So I'll play house, trance, tech house, R&B, commercial, you name it, just to get the shows.
Yeah.
So it was like people didn't really understand that, what kind of DJ are you? Because like I was just a DJ and I just used to play it everywhere because I just loved playing and getting the shows. But I used to, like, for example, in 2016, I used to run my own parties in Dundee and Arbroath, actually where Jordan's from. And like I put on a trance classics night on New Year's Eve because I knew that that was the music that I really loved, which was hard house and trance, because of my mum and my dad. Like, I've got all their old LPs, tapes, CDs, and it's like house classics, trance classics and hard house classics. And I used to put on those parties just as like a one-off because that would be the only chance I'd really get, because I couldn't go and DJ in a bar and play trance or hard house. Everyone would leave. But now... that it's actually come back, and I'm like, well, this is what I've always loved, and it's perfect. And I know everything evolves and goes round in circles, and it may go out again, but I'm in my absolute element just now because this is really my roots, and it's what I absolutely love. And I've never in this whole 10 years felt so good DJing, even small gigs, big gigs. Like, it's just because this music feels different to me.
Also, you're one of the people who's responsible for it coming back. Like, you're a big part of that revival, I think.
I think it was like starting to sneak it in. Like a lot of the elements in my tracks were influenced by that. So yeah, I suppose it did start coming back, and like the likes of Ben Hemsley as well. It's amazing. And then now all the legends are starting to catch on and do it as well.
Yeah, it's mad. It's really interesting how the trends kind of happen, and like all the different, because I feel like there's like lots of different trends happening at the moment. You've got like, trance is definitely back in, and like fast, everything's faster, everything's harder, like 150 BPM. And then you've also got like the speed garage revival. And it's really interesting. I think also like that, like TikTok and social media is big for it as well, because I know like that's a big part of what you do. Like, you are literally like shining example of how you can utilize a tool to make it, you know, to like increase your fan base and to help you. Like, I actually sometimes look on your TikTok and I'm like, what's she doing? What can I do? It's amazing how you've built that, by the
way. It's crazy. Like, I actually started using TikTok late on, and I remember, like, during lockdown, I was like, I don't want another platform. And then, like, I was using it just for, like, daft stuff during lockdown. And then, actually, when I started to use it properly and it grew my Instagram, I was like, whoa, this is a no-brainer. And it's actually my TikTok that's grown my Instagram.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
And do you think people are discovering, like, obviously young kids who won't remember early trance classics, do you think they're discovering the music, like, through social media as well, I guess?
100%. Like, even I'll get loads of DMs from younger people and like, what is this? Like, what is this music? And it's like music from the 90s. And I'm like, it's this. And they won't, maybe their parents maybe not necessarily into it, so they've no idea what it is, but they obviously hear it and they're like, whoa, what is that? You know what I mean? It's got a certain, I feel like trance has got a certain emotion and energy about it that people just catch on to it.
100%. And I want to talk about kind of you, like, DJing pre the pandemic. I know you went to Ibiza a lot, and you were, as you're saying, you were DJing everywhere, you were building. And I first heard your name, I think, 2019. And I, on my first ever Radio 1 show in 2020, which was literally when the pandemic happened, classic. That's when I started playing you. And then, I feel like you had this momentum already, didn't you, building before the pandemic? And I remember you were a bit like, oh, it's really annoying because things are happening and now we have to stop and nothing really happened for anyone. But I feel like you were working on music and you were still consistently releasing music throughout that time, and then sort of coming out the other side, you're ready to go, all guns blazing. And I feel like a lot of it fell into place. But how was that time for you, kind of when you were breaking through and then like stopping and then opening the gates again?
Yeah, I think pre-pandemic was, so it was 2019, and that's when things did really start to move. And obviously it was devastating for everybody. It was, yeah, I'd done that edit of Murder on the Dance Floor. I made it from a set, and then it was just like a little clip of it online, and it just went mad. It was never supposed to be released, and Fisher started playing it, and it was the first time I'd really had like any DJ, like big DJ, play my music. And then Fisher ended up booking me to go and play with him at High in Ibiza. And like, I'd done 3 seasons in Ibiza and I was stuck on the West End. And so this was absolutely mental. Yeah. I've always wanted to play a super club in Ibiza, never mind with Fisher. And then, yeah, it just started going crazy. And then the pandemic hit and I was like, oh no, this can't be happening. I genuinely thought it was over. And then, yeah, I was still dental nursing at that time, and then I couldn't be a dental nurse anymore because all the dentists closed. So I was just working. I was working in the chicken factory. I worked for Hermes and Tesco call centre. And like, I felt so rubbish in like losing the gigs and everything, and then doing jobs that I didn't enjoy. And like, I actually fell off making music for a bit, for a good while, actually, at the start of the pandemic, because like, I didn't feel creative. I didn't feel inspired to do anything. And then I actually got a dental job again when things started to open back up. And when I got that job again and I was out, and like, because I'd done dental nursing for so long, like, I actually did enjoy that job and enjoyed the people. And then I kind of got my mojo back a bit, started going to the studio and stuff again, making tunes. And then, yeah, I just fell back in love with it again. And I was like, well, I need to either get ready for when this stops, or stopping altogether is not going to be an option. So I was just heavily prepared for when it did open back up again. Like, I knew when everything opened back up that I was going to release Murder on the Dance Floor. And I held it, and because I didn't want to release it, like, I got the sample cleared and I could have released it during the pandemic, but I thought, if I release this now, it's not going to be played in clubs. It's going to get consumed very quickly. And then by the time we come out, it's going to be nowhere to be seen. So basically, as soon as the pandemic stopped, Murder on the Dance Floor was released, and then things just started moving again, and I'm really glad that I waited off and then I had the music ready to follow on after.
Yeah, sometimes it's all about timing. And yeah, that your version of Murder on the Dance Floor, I think it was probably my most played track in 2021, are we talking?
I think so, yeah.
I just like, I just couldn't stop playing it. It was to the point where I was like, I need to stop playing this edit. It's like, but then it does the job. And fucking Sophie Ellis-Bextor, babe. I mean,
no.
yes, yeah. The drop, the stabs, everything so you've done good. To it.
Yeah, well, I remember I was at Warehouse Project and I was in the crowd after my set, shock. And then I was at your set and then I heard you playing it and I was like, oh my God, this is mental.
That's really good foresight from you as well to be like, actually, I'm going to wait on this and I'm not going to rush it out.
Yeah, a part of me wanted to be like, put it out, stay relevant. But then I was like, no, it's definitely best to wait. And I'm so glad I did. But by the time it came out, tell you, I was sick of that.
I bet you were.
And now everyone probably wants to hear you play that in every set to this day. You know, so
the past 2 months, I've started to fizzle out from playing it. Like, I'm playing hour and a half sets, sometimes 2 hours. And so much new music I want to play. I can't necessarily... Well, I mean, I could fit it in if I really wanted to, but I just want to introduce new music. But I'm still getting tweets, messages like... Oh, I really loved your set, but where the fuck was Murder on the Dance Floor? Sorry, guys, like, please just let me play the new tunes.
I say, it's not a bad problem to have.
No, no,
it's
definitely not. Definitely not. Like, I mean, if I'm struggling, I'll not play that, it'll be sound.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely one of those, like, emergency tunes that it always... Yeah. And I remember I played it last summer, because I supported Peggy Goo in Finsbury Park, and then...
Oh, you remember seeing clips of that?
Yeah, so she sent me a video.
Yeah.
And she was like, what is this? And I was like, and then I screenshot it and sent to you. And then Peggy Yu, I think she played it. I don't know where.
Then she started playing it and it was all over TikTok and she played at Kingfield because of you.
Wow.
Well, that is mad.
Yeah. And then I kind of got a buzz for it again.
Yeah, I bet. After you get the goo co-sign.
The absolute legend herself.
Yeah, I mean, on the subject, like, there was at one point this summer where in the UK charts there were five women in dance music in the top 10, Peggy Goo being one, you and Roro being in there as well with Good Love, which would you peak at like number 7 in the in the charts?
Peaked at number 7. It was in the top 10 for like 6 weeks or something. Crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. What? Honestly, it still blows my mind, man.
I mean, where do we even start with that? The fact that, you know, you're talking about, like, in the pandemic, you felt so frustrated, you had to go back to being a dental nurse, and then like, fast forward to summer 2023, you've, like, this is the power of, like, I don't know what it is. Like, how do you think you got there? Like, do you think it's like the internet? Is it Scotland getting behind you? What is it? Like, it's incredible to see that this can happen.
I honestly don't know. I feel like because I've been DJing for so long, like, a lot of people kind of knew who I was in Scotland. I mean, not really anywhere else. Maybe a wee bit of England, but not much. And then when I played that Creamfield set last year, and I was on first, I was opening the trick stage, it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was like, oh God, no one's going to be there. And it's such a huge stage. So I was prepared, like, if there was going to be no one there, and I was prepared if there was going to be people there. And then when I got there and it was empty and then it filled up in about 2 minutes and there was loads of Scotland flags, it really hit me because I was like, oh my God, like, I actually do have a following. And I think just over, and it was all Scotland flags. I was like, I think it really showed the following had built up in Scotland over the 10 years.
Yeah.
Well, it would have been 9 years last year, but yeah. And then I was like, whoa. And then obviously, as you said earlier, utilising the likes of TikTok, Instagram, social media, doing the seasons in Ibiza for 3 years. I met so many people and played to so many different people. And I think it was just like a mixture of everything building together. And then the music obviously gets you that wider reach.
Yeah, it's like a mixture of organic and viral success coming together, and I think it's worked so well. Like,
yeah, thank you. It's crazy, but I do think it is a real mixture of what I've just spoken about. Definitely.
Yeah. Is Scotland your favourite place to play? Like,
oh, hands down. Like, I don't know if it's because, like, I feel like it's more of a community here than anywhere else, and I don't know if it's because it's a small country. So it's like when someone's doing well, everyone has got your back. Like, everywhere I go, there's Scotland flags. It's mental. Like, I was playing in Cornwall. Actually, so were you playing at Bournemouth at the weekend. And I came to my set and there's like 4 or 5 Scotland flags. And I'm like, what? Like, we're miles away and it's just mental. Everywhere I go now, people are proper. Any Scottish people there will make the effort to bring that flag and support you because you're Scottish. And it is a real community, and it just feels so good. As soon as I see it, I'm like, yes. Love being Scottish. Amazing.
I mean, I feel like personally, Scottish crowds are the best crowds, first of all. Like,
100%.
You're just mental. You're all just so passionate, you know, about everything. Do you drink Buckfast?
No, I actually hate Bucky.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah, but like if someone gives me a show on that, I'll like have a swig and pretend I'm enjoying it. But no, I actually don't like taste of it. I actually don't like wine. I mean, I drink everything else, but I mean, and it's a wine at the end of the day. I don't like it, no.
I was going to attribute the energy of a Scottish crowd to a few bottles of Buckfast, but maybe not. Maybe it's not that.
No, yeah, but a lot of people do drink it and enjoy it, and it does make you...
Yeah, I don't know what's in it, but it's not a coincidence, though, is it, that like so many of you, like there's so many incredible Scottish DJs, like, and the fact that so many of you have managed to get in the charts, like Ewan and LF System, and shout out to other Scottish DJs, I don't know, Frank, Talia,
yeah,
obviously, I can't, Van Dam, there's Kintra, like so many of you, there's so many,
yeah,
like, and I think. That's not a coincidence that you can, like, what's happening in Scotland? What are you guys on? I want some of that.
Must be the bucket. No, I don't know. I think, yeah, Scottish people, as you said, we are very passionate people. And I think we've all got a bit of a screw loose. And I think, like, that energy portrays in the music.
It must be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, from what it sounds like as well, is there's, like, a really, like, vibrant club scene. Like,
oh, yeah,
I hear a lot about all the clubs up there, like Sub Club, and I mean, I've actually never been to Scotland, so I'm the wrong person to be speaking about this, but just the way people talk about the clubs there sounds amazing.
You need to get yourself to a Scottish rave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Buckfast as well, so I'm gonna fit in.
She's your prime.
I'm gonna have the Scottish flag. Bottle of Buckfast. Yeah. You're like, I swear I know that girl. You're not Scottish.
Doesn't matter.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Back to Good Love. Like, did you anticipate the, maybe not the charts, but the success of this tune in particular? And why do you think it was this tune in particular that's done what it's done for you?
No, I didn't think it was going to do what it did, because as always, the tunes are made for the dance floor. Mm. And it was fast. It was like 140 BPM. And like the reason that I liked it so much is because it reminded me of, like, the vocal was like my old Clubland era back in the days.
Mm.
And people love that, like, regardless if it's trending now or not. Like, that's classic sounding that people love. And I just felt like I had that vibe around it. And then when I started playing it at the shows, what made me think, oh, okay, we're on to something here, like, it was my most requested tune. And I was like, oh, wow. And I never had so many DMs about a tune. And then I put, like, a little preview of it up on SoundCloud of it. It was, like, 45 seconds or something. And then the preview went in the charts on SoundCloud.
Wow.
And, like, SoundCloud had, like, emailed my management saying, like, we've never had a preview of a tune chart before. And I was like, oh, my God. But never did I think SoundCloud chart, UK chart. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, when it came out, it just started going absolutely mental. And from what it was doing, like in terms of Spotify streams, radio plays, all the attention it was getting, like my management obviously knew a lot more than I did about charts and whatever, because I've never had that experience. And they were like, no, we think this is heading for the chart. And I was like, nah, no way. And like every day the label would send updates like, it's doing this, it's doing that. And I was going, no way. And they were like, I think maybe in 3-4 weeks it'll go on the chart. And then a week later it entered the top 40. And I was like, what?
Wow.
Yeah, it was honestly insane. And then it was like, right, it's going to be a top 40. And then it was like, it's going to be a top 20. And then it was like a top 10. I was like, oh my God, it's got to be happening, man. It was, oh, honestly, it was surreal. Because at the end of the day, it's a fast tune. And I think Calvin Harris releasing Miracle not long before that really helped pave the way for the doof going into the charts.
That's true. Yeah. And again, another Scot representing.
Exactly. Yeah.
And yeah, I mentioned it before, like it feels significant also because you and Roro and alongside, I think it was Peggy Goo, Jazzy, Ellie Goulding, there were like, I can't remember, there were like 5 women in the top 10 at some point. And like I flagged that because when we did the Jaguar Foundation report last year, we did a whole report on the subject of gender in UK dance music. And looking back at the last 4 years, we analysed the official chart and only 5% of tracks in the official charts were exclusively by women and non-binary artists as like the primary artists, like not as a feature but as like the sole artist. So it's even more significant in terms of representation, and also feels like a real win, like one, having all of you in there, and you and Roro both 2 women as well.
I remember seeing you posting about that. I think it was when Eliza Rose went number 1.
And Eliza was there. That was it. Yeah.
And then I remember seeing you posting about that, and like I was quite mind blown at the figures. I was like, "Whoa, that's crazy!" But yeah, Eliza going number 1 and stuff, like that was a huge moment for women in dance music as well.
Yeah, it's exciting, and it feels like, you know, if we talk about representation, just hopefully, and I'm sure you must have like a lot of girls reaching out to you, being like, you know, you're inspiring me to, maybe I can do this as well.
100%. Like I get a lot of DMs, as you said, about people saying like, oh, you've really inspired me to do this, but like I maybe don't have the confidence. And like I actually wrote out, because I was getting so many messages like after the success, like I just wrote out a big note in my phone because I just felt like I was typing the same thing to everyone. And so like now if anybody asks me, like I'll just send them this specific note that I've written. And like it actually is, it's mostly females that do reach out. I don't know if it's because males maybe don't want to reach out to me, but yeah, loads of females been asking, try and help them where I can, definitely.
That's great to see. And yeah, hopefully it just helps the overall figures of representation. I'm sure we're going to see a lot of change.
Like when I first started 10 years ago, it was so dominated by males, and now there's so many females coming through, and it's so great to see.
Mm-hmm. Long may it continue. And also Roro, like I haven't met her yet. How did you guys get working together?
It's so funny, I hadn't actually met her until we were in the charts.
No way.
Yeah, we were playing at, well, I was playing at Mambo's a few weeks ago for Capital Dance in Ibiza, and Roro came along and we first met then. But basically the way it works is you get sent top lines or a cappellas every week and just sit and go through them, listen to them. And then I get sent loads, and like often you just can't connect with them. And like sometimes, like when you're really looking for an a cappella, you'd be like, oh, do I like this, do I not? But when I got sent this, I was like on the phone to my manager, I was like, you need them to hold this immediately. Like, please don't give this vocal to anybody else because I need this vocal. Like, I really need it. I was like, who is this singer? And they're like, oh, it's Roro, blah, blah, blah. And I was actually driving to the airport, and I was like waiting on a call back to see if somebody else had taken it, because that can sometimes happen because they'll get sent out to multiple people. Like if you're not quick, somebody else will say like, I want that, or hold that for me. And they were like, right, we've got it for you. And I was like, oh my God, I could not wait to get back from the shows and work on it. And like, that's how it happened. That's how I got hold of the vocal. And like there was other writers involved in writing it, and then Roro sung it, and then it came to me. And yeah, it just worked. And like, it was actually such a quick process because like, often with samples, as you know, the Sophie Ellis Bextor thing and everything, it took me like a year and a half or something to get that cleared. But because this was an original, and when I got sent it, I was like, we need to get this out for summer. Like, need to get it finished up. So I was down in London at studio, and like, I think we wrapped it up in maybe like 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and like with the release date scheduled as well, which never happens, as you know. Like, it takes time. Sometimes I put up a clip of a tune and people's like, release it, and it won't come out for like a year or two. So it was such a quick process, and then released it at the end of May, the week before Radio 1 Big Weekend. It was it was perfect.
Which was in Dundee, your hometown.
Exactly. And then people were automatically saying like, tune of the summer, and like, yeah, that's what I'd hoped for. So yeah, that's how it happened. And then when I met Rora, I was like, nice to meet you, and like, nice to be in the charts together.
Wow. Did you go out celebrating, I hope?
Well, we had a few drinks at Mambo.
Oh, that's so good. I need to meet her. I haven't met Roro yet.
She's so cool. She's so nice and a great, great voice.
Yeah. Yeah. Incredible voice.
Yeah.
And yeah, hopefully that being in the charts does amazing things for both of you, you know?
100%. Yeah. She says that so many people have been reaching out to her. It's brought on so many new opportunities for her as well. So for both of us, it's just made things go.
Good. In terms of like supporting other talent and nurturing, I feel like electronic music is really good for this. And I know that Trick and Patrick have been like really helpful for you and like bringing you up. And I'd love to hear how that's been for you, because I feel like now you're probably going to start nurturing people on your own, but how that's been.
Yeah. So like, Patrick Taubin's always been one of my favorite DJs because he's so versatile, and I felt like that was me playing everything. And he plays everything because he loves everything. And like, you'll catch him playing disco, house, tech house, techno, trance, hard house. And I was like, that's amazing. And like, that's why he plays the longer sets, because he does play everything. And over the years, I was like, this is incredible. To like, I was obviously playing all these different genres at separate gigs, but actually he's playing all these genres at one gig, just in a longer set. I was like, this is so cool. And and obviously when I was making tunes, I was finding like it difficult to know where my tunes would fit label-wise. I was like, where are these going to fit? I don't know. And then when Patrick announced that he was doing a label, like, I still remember he made a video of himself. He's like, I'm starting a label, it's going to be called Trek, blah, blah. I was like, maybe he would take all these tunes that I'm sitting on, maybe he would take some of these, because I don't really know where they fit. And because he's so diverse, maybe that's what his label will be like. So for years, like, it's actually mental. I still got all the emails. I posted them not that long ago. And I think it was like a year or two, I was just sending relentlessly. And the good thing about Trick was, at that time, when they were a bit smaller, they were able to reply to everybody. Now, that's impossible for them now, understandably, because they've gotten so massive and it's just not possible. But they actually like would reply and say, like, it's not quite right for us at the moment, but please do keep sending. And like, instead of just getting absolutely ignored, like, that actually made me be like, oh, like, keep sending. So I did. And like, I was like relentless. And then I actually ended up like messaging Patrick, like a wee clip of me playing and back. And he was I really like this. Like, I've got a VA coming out. I want to put it on the VA. So it's going to be like 22 tracks and my track will be on there. And I was like, what is going on? Because I've wanted this for so long, and no other label was interested in that tune, like, not one. I must have sent it to so many, but I loved it, and it went off in sets. And I was like, wow, like, I really want to release this. And then And Back got released on the VA, and then it was like the best selling track of the 22 tracks. And then obviously I think that got a bit of Patrick's attention, and then he booked me for Creamfields. And then since then and then my next aim was to release an EP with Trick. And again, like, I sent quite a few tracks before Patrick and the team actually accepted. I'm like, I don't think it's quite right yet, blah, blah, blah. So like, even still at this stage, like, you're still getting knocked back, or maybe it wasn't quite right. But then now I'm glad that those initial tracks that I sent for the EP weren't the ones that came out, because the ones that did end up coming out, I'm much happier with. And now obviously I'm playing all the Trick shows. I absolutely love what Patrick does for me. Like, look what he's done for Shaq, Ben, Ewan. Like, he's helped us all. Like, we've all done our own thing, but he's helped really bring us up. And yeah, it's just amazing. And like, literally, he's changed my life. So I'm forever grateful to him. He's such a nice guy.
God, I feel emotional.
Yeah, I was just thinking Yeah, that's amazing. It's also like such a testament to your work ethic as well, and like not taking no for an answer, and like believing in what you were doing as well.
Yeah.
Like knowing it was good enough and just sticking with it. I think that's actually quite like, it's quite inspirational to hear that.
Yeah, I just think, as I said, like, I just love those tunes so much. And I can see that other people were enjoying them as well on the dance floor. But I just think at that time, the labels weren't understanding it. But now they are. So it's crazy how like Trix really, really played a big part in bringing all this through as well. Because they'll release everything. They'll release house, techno, trance, hard house. And it's really helping all that back, definitely.
Yeah, you can tell there's like a kind of sound that Trick has like really helped like carry through and bring to the forefront. And yeah, respect to the whole team. And Patrick's such a nice guy, isn't he?
Yes, he's such a gentleman. He really is.
Yeah. Oh, love that. I want to ask you, Wow, I don't know if this is like an edit or an official release, but your Peaches edit of Fuck the Pain Away, Obsessed. Tell me more.
Do you know what? It's actually a funny story because like when I was speaking to you earlier, I was thinking, and I thought that you were going to bring this up because you'd commented on it and then I'd sent you it. But the reason, I sample a lot of vocals and stuff, and it's always just usually from a set. It's like any edit that I've ever released has always been made from a set, and then it's done well, so I thought I'd release it. So this is the same thing. Now, this Peaches tune, when me and my mates were younger, like, we used to sing it because I had swearing in it.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, that was why I liked that tune, right? Because we used to get away with swearing, because, like, this was a tune we'd always put on. Like, when I mean, like, very young, very, very young. We used to sing this tune because I had loads of swearing in it. And that's how I knew the tune. And then I have, like, a list in my phone of, like, loads of potential samples I want to use. Like, if I'm wanting to sample something, and I was going through them and I was like, oh, that Peaches one. I was like, do you know what? I want to try something with that. So I was in the studio and, like, you know, the original, it's so slow. I was
it is.
150 BPM, pitch it up. What's this going to sound like? And I was like, oh, this sounds good. So it's like 150 BPM, like, quite hard techno. Yeah. And I played it out, played it out at El Row. Surprisingly.
Oh, really?
I played it out at El Row in London for the first time, and then I put up a clip of it on socials as ever, and everyone's been like, what is this? And I'm like, oh, maybe I'll release this as well then. But nah, I don't know. It's still very early stages. Like, it was literally only like 4 weeks ago, but it's been going absolutely mental on the dance floor and online. So yeah, that's how that came about, because I thought it was cool swearing when I was younger.
That's funny. I mean, I used to love Peaches. I feel like you should send that to her if she hasn't heard it.
Well, yeah, she's cool. She's like a punk rocker.
Yeah.
Like, you look at her and you're just like, you're cool. And she looks like crazy, and her songs are crazy, and she's just got that whole good energy about her. And yeah, like, my management's like, yeah, you need to send her that. So I do need to.
I think you should.
Yeah. Bring it back to life. It's a classic though. Like, it's such a tune. Like, the original.
I agree.
Yeah.
Underrated classic. And I also love that this moment in time, like, all these noughties things, references, samples, it's so like, my inner like 8-year-old girl self is just so happy DJing at the moment, because you can get away with playing Beyonce, you can get away with playing Peaches, you can get away with playing Sophia Spexter, and that's how it should be.
Yeah, right? You'd be able to play what you like. Yeah. If the crowd's liking it, that's what matters.
Exactly.
No such thing as a guilty pleasure.
No, I'm with you. What do you think to that, Hannah?
100%. Are people like, oh, that's cheesy or blah, blah, blah? But I'm just like, it's a tune. Simple as that.
Yeah, I agree. So I want to ask you as well. Doof, doof.
Doof, doof. Doof, doof, doof.
Doof, doof.
Yeah.
What is doof, doof?
So basically, like, a lot of people would ask me, like, what genre of music do you play? And like, in Scotland, we would say doof, because like, doof, doof, doof. But also, in Australia, like, doof means, it means, like, it's got an actual meaning. It's an actual word that they use in Australia. It means heavy, repetitive bass line, and it also means party. Like, we're going to a doof.
Does
and
it?
And gay party is called poof doofs.
Oh yeah, yes, wow. I've seen Puff Duff. Okay.
So it's like, it can mean like a bang and beat or a party, basically. And then like, yeah, so if anybody asked me what I play, I'd be like doof, because it's like banging fast. And
that is a word that's made to be said in a Scottish accent, yeah. By the way. Sorry to interrupt, but...
So, yeah, and then I was just like, I need this to be my brand. And then I just started teasing it, and it's just caught on. Everyone's got tattoos. It's mental. Like, I've not even... I'm launching it into a label, basically, but sick. And parties as well. I've not done a single doof party or launched the label yet, and everyone's got tattoos already. I've just been saying the word. Like, people are like, Mrs. Doof and all that. And I'm like,
Mrs. Doof.
Dundee Doof and, like, all this. And it's mental. Like, people have got tattoos, like, on their arms or legs. Like, two people have got it tattooed on their lip there.
Whoa.
It's so mental.
And then I've done, like, a T-shirt drop, and they sold out within, like, 2 days. So I'm launching the label at the end of October-ish, end of the year. And then starting to put on doof parties. So I'm well excited, and I just feel like I'm so happy with how the brand's been received without necessarily doing anything yet. So I mean, the name's already about, so it's perfect for releasing the tunes and throwing the parties.
That's literally the dream. And on the label side, are you going to release your music or other artists or a mixture?
Yeah. I think I'm going to launch the label with tune for myself, and then I've already started like getting my eye on people. Like, I get sent obviously a lot of tunes, like yourself, on promo to playing sets and stuff that are unreleased, and I've been like, can you hold that for me for Diff? So the plans are well underway, and I cannot wait.
Love that. Yes,
it's going
love
to be
to
class
see that.
To build a wee Diff community.
We all need a little bit of Diff in our lives.
You know it.
Can't have enough Diff.
Oh, we'll be there at the launch night, don't you worry.
It's good
Diffing around. Right, we've got a few minutes left, so I want to ask you what you've got coming up, because I mean, you've already achieved a lot of things, and I'm sure some things you didn't think you'd tick off already have already happened. So what's in the pipeline?
I've actually remixed Calvin Harris's new tune.
What, Miracle?
And
the Sam Smith.
Yeah.
Oh.
So when I got the request for it, honestly, I about fell out of my bed, because I just woke up in the morning and I had messages. Now, I've like, my management, there's five of them or something, and I had a message from like three of them, and like, not in the group chat, separately. And I was like, oh my God, no, they're like, yeah, Calvin wants you to remix his new tune. I was like, what is going on? Because everyone always go like, oh, have you met Calvin Harris of this or that? Because I'm Scottish. I'm like, I actually haven't. Mm. Like, he was behind me one time when I was playing in high, but like, we didn't manage to chat, and I've never met him. But like, he must know who I am now. And I'm like, nah, this is mental. So like,
wow.
I was like, oh no. Like, how am I going to do this justice? Like, because it's perfect the way it is. Like, it's an absolute tune. I love it. And then I was like, right, so yeah, I've doofed it right up, basically. It's coming out soon.
That is big. Well done, babe.
Thank you. Honestly, like, it feels absolutely huge for me. And Calvin being like one of the greatest producers of all time, and he's Scottish, it's definitely a moment, and I'm so buzzing. Feels mental to be asked. Yeah.
Oh my God. Honestly, I'm so happy for you and inspired. To be honest,
I appreciate it.
Okay, so we've got one more question. The Utopia Talks podcast is all about utopia. So what is your utopia? And this can be music. This can be your own life. This could be something you want to see in the future. It can be whatever you want it to be.
I think my ideal utopia would be like, people should live and let other people live. Because if people did that, if people used that energy for themselves, instead of being so bothered about what other people do, they would be much happier inside. Because like, at the moment, I feel like stuff that I've been experiencing, like online, like people are like, more successful you are, people get so bothered by it. And like, I really do think people should just, if somebody else is doing something, like, leave them be, and you focus on you. And that would be my ideal of utopia.
Sounds pretty great, if you ask me.
I can get behind that. I'm more diff diff.
Yeah, utopia. I don't know if that's diff diff.
Maybe.
Yeah, no, I do think that definitely. It would be a more peaceful world.
Yeah, more empathy we need in this world.
Yeah. Definitely.
There we go. Hannah, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been a real pleasure to speak to
you. Thank you to you both for having me on.
And we'll see you soon. We'll see you at a Duf Duf.
Yeah, well, I might see you soon, maybe at a show before then.
I hope so.
Hopefully I'll see you at a show, and always welcome to the Duf.
Hey.
Thank you.
Utopia Talks is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.